Continuing with our Radhakund Parikrama, which is part of the overall Rajmandal Parikrama. And we left off at the Vakeshwara Pandit Temple. And actually, the one name I forgot yesterday that I remember was that the temple in which the deities, the original deities, were discovered at Radhakund by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's called the Radhakrishna Puran Mandir. Puran means old. It's the original Mandir. So, we're continuing with our parikrama. And right across the street from Radhakund, you'll see ISKCON's temple there.
Right. Oh, my God.
No, please,
we bumped heads.
now I got shocked. Krishna shocked. I feel electrified. I'm liberated.
just having the association of Satchinanda Maharaj, I feel like I'm back to Godhead. Swarjunya Pona Shevaya. Just a little association with a great devotee. It's more valuable than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So Vrindavan is manifest through the presence of the great devotees. So now we're going to the temple that was started by Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. It's called the ISKCON's Gopal Temple. And this is right across the street from Radhakund. The Transcendental Samadhi, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj is there, as well as the deities of Gopal. And after this, taking darshan of the Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, we continue to the Radha Shyamasundara Temple. And that's on the left-hand side of the street. And, of course, the deities there, that's Jaimananda Pandit's temple, and the deities there are called Radha Shyamasundara. See some viewpoints of this. And, of course, Jaimananda Prabhu was renowned because he was given his name by who? Does anyone know? Radharani. And he got his tilak from her too. And his initiating guru was who? Does anyone remember? Starts with an H. Hridaya Chaitanya, which means Lord Chaitanya is in his heart, because the deities of Gauridas Pandit, who was his spiritual master, jumped into Hridaya Chaitanya's heart because they were afraid of Gauridas Pandit, who was angry with them. And that's why he got the name Hridaya Chaitanya. So Hridaya Chaitanya's disciple was Duki Krishnadas, who later on became Shyamananda. And Shyamananda is now known for having found the anklet of Srimati Radharani in the Kanaka Kunj. These are the actual deities of Shishi Gornatai of Gauridas Pandit and Hridaya Chaitanya and Hridaya. Originally it was Hridaya Ananda, but then became Hridaya Chaitanya. And the story is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I gotta slow down. No, it's all right. That Lord Chaitanya, sorry, I got so excited seeing Maharaj here. When I get excited, I start going fast. One of the signs of my ecstasy is I start going real fast. So you'll have to excuse me, it's one of my Vyabhachari Babas. And I started laughing. Then these are the deities that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally posed for. Because Gauridas Pandit said to Lord Chaitanya, you're not going to leave here, when Lord Chaitanya was visiting him. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I'll have to pose for some deities. And so they made these deities as replicas of, you know, using Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as posing for the deities. Danke schön. So these are the deities that Ambika Kalm deities. This is of course in Bengal. So then you see some pictures of the story of Shyamananda. And Shyamananda found the... Anyway, this is Shyamananda taking instruction from his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya. Then later on, he goes to Vrindavan and associates with Srila Jiva Goswami as a Shiksha Guru. And then he finds the anklet of Srimati Radharani. And he buries it. And then the Lita Devi comes in disguise and says, have you seen the anklet of my Swamini, my mistress? Then he says, who are you? And he demands to see her transcendental form. And then he gets a chance to associate with Radharani, assuming his spiritual form is Siddhadeha. And he gets to return the anklet, and he also gets the tilak, as you see here, from Srimati Radharani. Another picture of the same thing. And then later on, there's an interesting story that later on, his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya, accuses him of getting reinitiated. Actually, Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas have commented that this reinitiation, when one still has a bona fide spiritual master, is one of the greatest offenses that there are. And sometimes you'll find people from outside of ISKCON, and they'll tell you that if you really want pure love of Godhead, you should reject your kangaroo. You understand the word, plain word? Kangaroo? No. A kangaroo is an animal in Australia. So sometimes they... You understand the plain words.
Kangaroo is an animal, yes.
He has an animal. So, kanguru. So they say that your guru is a kanguru. And they say... So, this is a trick that they use. Actually, I've been called that by some people, too. Outside this time. And also, I've been called Duryodhana by some people. Anyway. I get the benediction of being criticized. There was one magazine that comes out and criticizes ISKCON devotees. It's called Back to Prabhupada. And the last issue, I got a whole page devoted to me. I was so happy. Because finally I was recognized. So, anyway, getting on with the story. So they accused Shyamananda, who was previously Dukhi Krishnadas, of getting reinitiated. And he said, no, I've gotten this name and this tilak in a dream from you, Guru Dev, referring to Hridaya Chaitanya. And this is a long story, but Hridaya Chaitanya basically said, well, let's see if it's bona fide, your new tilak, and the name that's written on your chest. I'm going to wipe it off, and if it reappears, then we know you're bona fide. So then what happened is that this Shyamananda went into deep trance and he approached Radharani again, and also he approached Subal, and they assured him that that tilak and the name would remain on him. And then what happened is his guru wiped it off and then it reappeared. But then later on, his guru got upset again and actually beat him up, you know, with his fist. Very heavy. I don't do that with many disciples, once in a while. So that night, the guru had a dream. Lord Chaitanya had a dream. And Lord Chaitanya appeared before him with a bloody. And he said, "Why have you done this to me?" And so then Brihad Chaitanya understood and he begged for forgiveness to his disciple, Chaitananda. So, nice story. This is another story where Chaitananda, who you see here, went deep into trance. And it was several days and everybody was worried. And in that trance, he was looking for some jewelry of Srimati Radharani that had been lost in a kunda. And so his Chaitananda's anyway, everybody was worried about what was happening. No, it's not. Actually, it's not. I got the wrong story together. I'm thinking about another story. Anyway, so he went into trance and was always serving Srimati Radharani in trance. And this is the Tilak Stana, where Chaitananda got his tilak from Srimati Radharani. And this is, of course, the Shyama Sundara deity of Chaitananda Prabhu. Another view of the Radha Shyama Sundara. Let's see. Next, we go to the temple of Radha Damodar, which is Jiva Goswami's temple. Now, remember, I mentioned that the temples at Radhakund are replicas of the temples in Vrindavan. So Radha Damodar, of course, in Vrindavan is the temple where Srila Prabhupada resided. Here's a close-up of Radha Damodar. So Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilasa Manjari Gopi. And her picture, or her deity, is there on the altar. That's Vilasa Manjari, with Radha and Krishna. Of course, that's Jiva Goswami and Radha and Krishna. It's a close-up of the deities. And a very close-up shot. More shots of the deities, Radha Damodar. As you see, they're taken care of very well. Now we head back to the Parikrama path and we go to see the deities of Janava Devi, who is known as Ananga Manjari in Krishna's pastimes. So we enter Janava Mata's temple and there's the deities. Close up. And then outside the temple, after we circumambulate, we see the sitting place of Janava Mata along the banks of Radha Kunda. And the private bathing place that was constructed by Srila Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. And this place that Janava Mata would go bathing and nobody could see her when she was bathing. Here's a shot from the other side. And inside the same temple courtyard where Janava Mata's deities are is the samadhi of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. As we mentioned, I think I mentioned here, but maybe I didn't. But the three aspects of devotional service, Sambandha, Videya, Prayojana, have different acharyas. The Sambandha Acharya is who? Does anyone know? What? Sanatan Goswami, and who are the presiding deities? Madan Mohan. Abhideya is who? Rupa Goswami, who is the presiding deity? Radha Govinda, and I mentioned Raghunath Das Goswami, is the Prayojanacharya, and who are the presiding deities? Radha Gopinath. So Raghunath Das Goswami was renowned for his renunciation. He appeared in a very wealthy family, the Majumdara family. Anyway, you don't know. Majumdara was the family name, Govardhan and Aranya. And he actually escaped from home. His parents tried to keep him at home, first of all, by putting guards around him, giving him a beautiful wife, giving him so much wealth. But once he attained the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then later the mercy of Lord Nityananda at the Panihati festival, Raghunath Das Goswami couldn't remain at home any longer. So he would reside by the banks of the Radhakund. And there's a famous story that Raghunath Das Goswami was so renounced that he didn't even build a bhajan kutir in the beginning. So Sanatan Goswami came to Radhakund one time, and he saw Raghunath Das Goswami by the banks of Radhakund, and there were tigers drinking from Radhakund. And so he got real nervous, and he told Raghunath Das Goswami, you should build the bhajan kutir. But at the same time, Sanatan Goswami saw that Krishna was guarding Raghunath Das Goswami, and he said to Raghunath Das Goswami that you should not be taking service from Krishna, but giving service. So that's one thing that occurred. But Raghunath Das Goswami still hesitated to build a bhajan kutir. Later on, Sanatan Goswami saw Srimati Radharani shielding Raghunath Das Goswami from the sun with her own cloth. So at that point, Sanatan Goswami insisted to Raghunath Das Goswami, you must build a bhajan kutir. And so he built a very, very small bhajan kutir near a place called the Manasa Pavana Ghat. And we'll talk about that place in a second, because that's where something very mystical, magical, wonderful, ecstatic, spiritual occurred. Here's another picture of Radharani shielding Raghunath Das Goswami. Another picture. I love these pictures. Then you have another guardian of Radhakund in the northern direction, Lord Shiva. And you'll see there Radharani's footprints installed right next to that. Of course, these are Radharani's footprints. This is from a different temple. And then the replica of the Radharaman temple, which was established, of course, by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami came from South India. His father was Venkata Bhatta. And they were in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they became converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And you'll see a close-up of the deities. Radharaman on the left and Revati Balaram on the right. And of course, this is the original Radharaman deity that's in Vrindavan, the city of Vrindavan. And I think most of you know the story of how this deity became self-manifested. Of course, Gopal Bhatta Goswami had some Shalagram Shilas. He was very humble. Just like nowadays, I see devotees, they worship Shilas or whatever, even without their guru's permission, which is a sign of what we call hubris. You know what hubris is? In Greek, it's a Greek word. That means the pride that goes before the fall. But when Prabhupada was here, everything was very strictly regulated. You know, who would have shilas, who would have deities in their homes. And unfortunately, to a certain extent, things have become a free-for-all nowadays. Because one really has to get permission from the guru before they engage in different types of worship. Nowadays, the philosophy is do it first and get permission later. Right? Say, Guru, I have your permission. I just got deities and I've been worshiping them for the last 5 years. But I'm saying this in the context of the story of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Because Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he got some shilas, 8 shilas actually. But then he was thinking to himself, unworthy to have these shilas. Imagine, this is Gopal Bhatta Goswami, an eternally liberated associate of the Lord. Someone who served Lord Chaitanya when he was a little boy of 5 years old. And he's feeling like that. But we're thinking, we're great to him. All right. So what he did is he thought himself unworthy, so he went back to the Gandaki River and he put the shilas back in the water. And guess what the shilas did?
What?
Jump out.
They jumped back into his hands. So he did this several times. So after a few times he understood that it was all right for himself to worship shilas. It was pretty obvious at that time. So he had the shila, I believe it was the Damodar shila. He was worshiping, and then some wealthy merchant gave him some clothes for the deities. And he didn't have any deities, he just had shilas. Normally you don't dress shilas with clothes. And then he looked at the other Goswamis, how they were worshiping and dressing the deities. And he thought, why not me? So he had, at night he went to sleep, and then he woke up, and the shila became Radharaman. Very beautiful deity. Yeah, so that's a self-manifest deity. And then Radharani is not there with Radharaman. Of course, she's actually there, but you can't see her. So they put the clothes of Radharani next to Radharaman. And in the back of the deity, you can actually see the shila from which the deity manifested. Here's a close-up.
Wow.
It's beautiful, isn't it? He's beautiful. If you see Radharaman, you'll give up all your desires in the material world. So close your eyes, because we don't want you to see Radharaman.
Is that...
We want you all to be involved in economic development, sense gratification, dharma, artha, common moksha.
I have heard one detail. You see, obviously, the eyes are a little down because he is so up and he wants to see the devotees.
Ah. So Maharaj just explained to me that the eyes of Radharaman are always looking down. Because he's so far up and he wants to look down and see his blessed devotees. Very wonderful. Hey, Hare Krishna. No Star Wars for you today? All right. And then after the Radharaman temple, not Gopal Bhatta Goswami's temple, we cross the street and go around the stage and turn left through a gate. And then that temple is the Radha Govinda temple, which is Rupa Goswami's temple, or the replica of the Radha Govinda temple. And there you see Radha Govinda. Of course, Rupa Goswami is, in one sense, the head of our Sampradaya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore we are called Rupa Nugas. And Prabhupada termed the nectar of devotion, which is based upon the Bhakti Ratsamrita Sindhu, as the lava for our Krishna consciousness movement. And so this is a story about Rupa Goswami, of course, that Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare, let's go back, Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare some nice kheer for his brother, Sanatana Goswami. But he was thinking, I don't have any ingredients to prepare that kheer with. So then a young girl came with all the ingredients, and he prepared this kheer for Sanatana Goswami. And then Sanatana Goswami took the kheer, and he fell into ecstasy, and he said, I've never taken any kheer like this before. Where did you get these ingredients? And Rupa Goswami said, a young girl brought them to me. And Sanatana Goswami understood that that young girl was Srimati Radharani. And Sanatana Goswami sort of chastised Rupa Goswami, saying that we shouldn't be taking service from Radha and Krishna. We should give service to Radha and Krishna. These Radha Govinda deities. So the Radha Govinda deities are actually in Jaipur today. And what you see in Vrindavan are Pratibhu deities, which are considered non-different from the original deities. Whoops, I think we're going to move. Let's go back to Radha Govinda. So, and in Jaipur, if anyone's been, anyone here been to Jaipur? So, every morning before the businessmen go to work, they take darshan of Radha Govinda. And they're all chanting. It's an amazing sight. And they're all chanting, Govinda, 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 Govinda. It's really nice. And they circumvent, frankly, the whole city circumambulates Radha Govinda in the morning. And, of course, there's a whole story that about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vijayabhushana. They had to argue with the pundits in Jaipur when the pundits tried to separate Radha and Govinda. But it was explained by the Acharyas that actually, even though it appeared like the pundits separated Radha and Govinda and worshipped them in a different temple, it was actually due to Radharani's man, or anger towards Krishna. So it was a pastime. Okay. So then we come to the tongue of Govardhan. This tongue was discovered when the workers working under the jurisdiction of Raghunath Das Goswami were digging up a well which is called the Gopi Kupa. That means the Gopi well. As they were digging the well, they came across a stone, and the stone was bleeding. And it was revealed to Raghunath Das Goswami in a dream that this stone was the tongue of Govardhan. So the tongue of Govardhan is worshipped in a separate temple. And depending on whether you speak Bengali or Hindi or Sanskrit, mandir is pronounced differently. In Bengali, it's jibmandir. And in Sanskrit, it's jiwa mandir. And then it's also similar in Hindi, jiwa mandir. And right next to that, jiwa mandir was the Radha Govinda temple, which we saw. And then we turn and walk backwards, and you'll come to a very interesting samadhi. This is called the Teen Goswami Samadhi. Teen in Hindi means three. So it's the Pushpa Samadhis of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Krishnas Kaviraj, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, it's interesting, they all disappeared on the same day of different years. And the reason you have this samadhi, which has the ashes of these three great personalities, rather than the standard sannyasi samadhi, where you put the actual body in the ground, is that the Muslims attacked. Actually, let's be more precise. It was the Mughals who attacked, because we don't want to be discriminated against any particular religion. It was the Mughals. The Mughals had taken up the Muslim religion. The Mughals came from the north. They were descendants of people like Genghis Khan. Originally, the Islamic tradition was quite sophisticated. Actually, much more sophisticated than Europe was at that time. Europe was in the Dark Ages, where they were burning works of philosophy. I don't know if you're aware of this. They were burning the ancient Greek philosophers' books. There was the Inquisition. Actually, Maharaj gave me some quote about an inquisitor the other day. I read the book.
You read?
I read it. He recommended it to me. Yeah. It's an interesting story. Maybe you should tell the story.
Good story.
Let me tell the story, Maharaj. Yeah, it's a wonderful story. Dostoevsky, that once upon a time, this has nothing to do with Radha Kund, but it's interesting, because Maharaj told it to me. So, this shows you the problem with institutionalized religion. This is a commentary. You know, when you institutionalize a religion, sometimes you lose the spirit of the religion. So, of course, this is a not a true story. It's an imaginative story. But in this story, once upon a time, Jesus Christ appeared again. And this is in Seville, Spain, it occurred, where the Inquisition was going on. In the Inquisition, they were burning people at stakes, witches, or whoever disagreed with the church. So, Jesus Christ appeared again, and he basically brought people back to life, cured people from being sick. Even there was a little baby in a coffin, and the mother was crying. She said, please bring him back to life, and he brought the baby back to life. But there was this, what's called the Grand Inquisitor, you know, someone who's in charge of the Inquisition. He imprisoned Jesus Christ. Interesting story. And he says, why have you come again? Why have you come again? We've already taught things in institution. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. Institutionalized the church. And, you know, don't teach us any new things. We've already learned everything for the last 1,500 years. Tomorrow morning you're going to be condemned to death. Interesting, isn't it? It's not a true story, but it's a commentary on institutionalized religions. And eventually, of course, at the end of the story, Lord Jesus kisses the Inquisitor, and the Inquisitor lets him go, and the Inquisitor says, don't come back again. Basically because we have an institution to run. So I was just picturing that, you know, with any religious institution, if the founder comes again, would we really appreciate him? Like Prabhupada came in the middle of the GBC meetings. What would he say? And would we accept? So anyway, so that was a brief advertisement in the middle of Radha Kund Parikrama. So commentary. Hope nobody's spying on us.
No.
No one's here from the GBC. No, he's all right. He's good. He's cool. So anyway, let's continue. So they have the Pushpa Samadhi here, that because the Mughals had invaded India and they were desecrating the samadhis of these great personalities and even digging the bodies up. And of course, trying to take the deities, smash the deities. They were smashing even the faces, the carvings on the outsides of the temple. So therefore, these three Goswamis were cremated. Their bodies were actually taken out of the ground and cremated. And this is the Pushpa Samadhi, and which some of the ashes are in too, of these three great personalities of Vrindavan. It's called the Three Goswami Samadhi Mandir. It's teen actually means three. And inside you'll see some of the writings of the Goswamis, how beautiful the writings are. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, he commented that your letters look like pearls on a string of pearls. Beautiful writing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling them to calm down.
Oh, telling them to calm down, okay.
Yeah.
You can be the chokidar. You know what chokidar is?
Yeah, yeah.
Guard. And then a few steps away, overlooking the Radhakund at the Sangam, is the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We already talked about Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And there is another swinging place of the divine couple, Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. Many pastimes, like swinging pastimes, water pastimes, occurred around here. Of course, this is not from Vrindavan. This is from Radhashyam. Yeah, in Hungary. Then we back down the alley and take the first right to the Bhajan Kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You see a depiction of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami right in here. And then we turn towards Shyamakund. And there's also the Bhajan Kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And a famous tree, and I told you I was going to tell you the story about this tree. This is called the Pilu tree. Actually, the pilu trees have a certain type of fruit that burns your mouth if you don't eat it properly. There's an interesting story that one time some devotees brought some pilu fruits to Jagannath Puri, and the Bengali devotees didn't know what they were, and they started eating these fruits the wrong way, and their mouths were burning, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed at them, because you're supposed to just suck on the fruit rather than eat the fruit. This story is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this ghat there, ghat means bathing place, is called the Manasa Pavana Ghat. And this, of course, is on the banks of the Shyamakund. And at this Manasa Pavana Ghat, the gopis would regularly bathe and put their clothes as they were bathing on top of the pilu tree. Now, this pilu tree was not just an ordinary pilu tree, because all the animals and bushes and entities in Vrindavan are spiritual entities, eternally liberated souls. So this particular pilu tree was a Brahmin from Varanasi. And he wanted to perceive Radha and Krishna's pastime, so he took birth as a pilu tree, or pilu bush. So he was able to witness all these pastimes. And later on, as you see here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur disclosed, and that is, he told that he had regular talks with the pilu tree. And this pilu tree explained to him the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that he had seen. And that's where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur got a lot of the information from his literature that he wrote down in stories from the pilu tree. Whenever I go to this location, Manasa Pavana Ghat, one of my favorite locations, I actually go under the tree and chant japa for a few rounds. And it's, you know, touching the tree with the top of my head. And it's an amazing experience. I recommend that you do that when you go to Shyamakund. Now, don't, like most Westerners do, they try to take home souvenirs. Don't take parts of the tree. Please. Because I've seen that we Westerners have this tendency that, you know, we would take the whole holy dham back to our home with us if we could. But it's desecration of the holy dham. I mean, I had one friend who took a whole door from a temple in Vrindavan back to... I don't know how he got it on the plane, but he did it. So don't do that. Respect and leave things there. Please. And if you, as far as worshiping Giriraj, get permission from your guru and a resident of Vrindavan first. Or leave the same weight in gold. But you still have to get permission from your guru. Nowadays, people just get so loose, isn't it? The guru is like a fashion. You know, like a rock and roll star. But in the old days, we served the guru. Now the guru serves you. So, anyway, a little philosophy. So, the Shamakund is in a very interesting shape. It's not a regular shape. So let's just look at these pictures. So this is where the gopis leaving their clothes when they bathe. And the reason Shyamakunda is in a very unusual shape is that when the excavation work was going on, Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream in which the Pandavas, Yudhisthira actually, appeared to him in a dream. And Yudhisthira said, "We, the Pandavas, are living on the banks of the Shyamakunda's trees. So don't cut us down." So therefore, the Shyamakund was erected in such a way as to not cut down the trees, the five Pandavas. Did you see? Let's go back a little bit. There's the Bhima tree right there. And the Arjuna tree. And unfortunately, these trees are, I would say, disappearing at this point. I think the only two you can see are the Bhima and the Arjuna trees. Is Radha and Krishna, Radharani bathing at that place? Those pictures later, but and the Sangam is where the Radhakund and Shyamakund meet. So this is the picture taken from the Manasapavana Ghat. Now going backwards past the other samadhis which you mentioned, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur samadhis, and going to the right, you'll see the Chaitanya Gadadhar temple. And here, Gangamata Goswamini worshipped Krishna. So she was one of the female acharyas in our sampradaya. She's known as Gangamata Goswamini because one time the Ganges in Jagannath Puri actually washed her into the temple of Jagannath Puri in the middle of the night. And when everyone woke up, they found her in the middle and they thought that she was actually going to steal from the temple. And they put her in jail. And then the king had a dream where Krishna revealed to him that he personally brought Gangamata Goswamini into the temple. And so the king later repented and he took initiation from Gangamata Goswamini. So there are several lady gurus, acharyas in our sampradaya. So Lord Chaitanya's instruction Yare Atkara Krishna Upadesh Amaragai Guru Hai Tore Desh. Yare Dekatari Kara Krishna Upadesh Amaragai Guru Hai Tore Desh should be taken up by everybody, men and women. That everyone is meant to become preacher, guru, and bring people to Krishna consciousness. Our movement is not based on the bodily platform. This is the temple of Gangamata Goswami. Then we go back to the Parikrama path, and we walk about 100 meters, or maybe even less, for the Parikrama path, and we reach Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Bhajan Kutir, where you find the Pushpa Samadhis of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as well as one of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the chair of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the bed of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his famous cane. If you and his shoes. If you go there, you can ask the pujari, the person who cares for the temple, to hit you on the head with a cane. Now you may say, why should I be hit on the head with a cane? The reason is that we're meant to control our minds. We take our minds, which are accepting and rejecting things on the basis of what pleases our senses, as so seriously. You know, I feel like this. I feel depressed today. You know, I feel Krishna conscious today. I don't feel Krishna conscious today. I don't like Krishna. I do like Krishna. You know, we're completely on the mental platform. Manorate nasati. Dabatobahi. So therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said we should beat our minds with a cane or shoes in the morning and the evening. You don't have to do that literally. That's a figurative expression. We don't need devotees with concussions. Okay. I think we'll end here because next time for the next seminar. No, we only get what? Quarter as well? Oh, okay. A 15-minute bonus. All right, anyway. Thank you. Thank you, time demigods. So. And then as we go back on the Parikrama path, we'll see these Jagannath deities and enter into the area of the Bhajan Kutir of Jiva Goswami. And there's a second temple of Radha Damodar there. These are the samadhis of great personalities. And this is, of course, the second Radha Damodar temple. And then we get to Lalita Kund. And this is a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Kalyana Kalpataru. He says, just near my kutir is Lalita Kund, surrounded by hundreds of bejeweled altars. At that place, Sri Radha Krishna can be seen continuously sporting as they expand their pastimes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing his spiritual vision of the Holy Dham. For those of us who don't have that vision, which is just about everybody, we just see the veneer that covers the Holy Dham. The veneer is like a thin covering, like in furniture, that covers the furniture. So what we see is this veneer that's arranged by Yoga Maya. We see monkeys and that are attacking us, and dirt, and pandas that are asking us for money, and we feel too much heat or too much cold there, and our feet are hurting, and we're hungry, That's all Yogamaya's arrangement, so that rascals won't see the real Dham. So if we're not seeing the real Dham, we have some rascaldom. So we have to see through the eyes of great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you actually have faith, Yasha Devi Para Bhakti Yatate Vitita Guru Tashaite Katita Yatta Prakashante Mahamana. If you actually have faith in the words of these acharyas and the Vedic literatures, you will actually see the holy Dham underneath that veneer. And certainly Bhaktivinoda Thakur was seeing that. So Lita Kund, and this is where Radha and Krishna also performed many pastimes. Water pastimes with Radha and Krishna. Swing pastimes. Okay. What?
Who was also with Radha Krishna on the swing?
Who was with Radha Krishna? Well, there's this whole story that I don't have time for right now. It's about how Narada Muni tricked Lalita to be on Lalita and Vishakha to be on the swing with Krishna, so that Radharani would get angry. But I can tell the story. So this is Lalita Kund. We have a very nice program to keep Lalita Kund clean. If any of you are interested in participating in the program of cleaning Radha Kund area, Shama Kund area, go to the website www.radharani.com. That's easy to remember, isn't it? And then you'll get the opportunity by donating to help clean Radha Kund area. I mean, we only have enough money now to clean certain areas like Lalita Kund, the Jiva Mandir, and some of the other areas, Samadhi areas. But if we have more participation, we can clean the whole Radha Kund daily. This is going on daily. We have several workers who are coming out every day to clean. And they're supervised by a very nice devotee, Abhay Charan Day, who is an ISKCON devotee, lives in Vrindavan. And so Lalita Kund is one of those areas. And next to Lalita Kund is the temple of Lalita Bihari. So, as I explained in the beginning, there's kunjas. Kunjas means like forest areas that are surrounding Shama Kund and Radha Kund. And these kunjas, and also there's kuns and kunjas of the sakas and sakis. That means the coward boys and the gopis. So you have the eight principal sakas surrounding Shama Kund and the eight principal sakis surrounding Radha Kund. And in the middle of Radha Kund, there's a jewel bridge that goes to an island, like a lotus petal island, where Radha and Krishna enjoy their pastimes. If you have spiritual vision, you can see the bridge and the lotus flower in the middle and all the kuns of the sakis and sakas. Loganatha Goswami's temple is right on the path. And of course, Loganatha Goswami installed Radha Vinod. Here's a close up of Radha Vinod. Jai Radha Vinod, Radha Vinod ki jai. And there's another temple. I want to talk about this temple a little bit. There's a Manipur Maharaj Mandir, which is a very big temple with these beautiful deities. And this temple was offered to us for sale. And it's actually one of the most prominent temples. It's a whole courtyard. There'd be guest facilities. So
anybody who has Lakshmi, see me after this class. Because this can be in the hands of ISKCON. And we can have a place where devotees can reside and have guidance when they're living in Radha Kund. It's right on the Parikrama path. It requires a lot of renovation. You have some money you're going to give for it?
Set up a good life.
Okay. We'll talk to him later, rather. So I'm just a poor sannyasi, and depending on the mercy of all of you. So then we round the Gopi Kupa, the Gopi's well where Govardhan's tongue was found. And we see Madhavendra Puri's sitting place where he sat by the banks of the Radhakund and chanted. And there's a temple there, Radha Krishna, the Ashta Sakis. And deities of Gornatai with Advaita Acharya. And then we go to Jayadev Goswami's temple. Jayadev, of course, was the author of the Gita Govinda. Yeah, Jayadeva Pranadana, hey. So, Radha Madhava. So Jayadeva Goswami is interesting. He's called Goswami, but he was married. His wife's name was Padmavati. And Krishna personally wrote part of the Gita Govinda. When Jayadeva was writing the Gita Govinda, he came to a part where he wrote down that Krishna bows down at Radharani's feet. And he became astounded. He said, no, how could this happen? Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it he's bound? Because he was inspired to write like that. So he just stopped. He said, now it's time for a bath. So he said, all right, I better go take a bath and think about this particular shloka. So he went, took his bath. And while he was taking his bath, Krishna took on the form of Jayadeva Goswami, came back, asked Jayadeva Goswami's wife for prasad, ate prasad, and then he sat down to write, and he continued that particular verse. Krishna bows down at Radharani's feet. So then Krishna disappeared, and the real Jayadeva Goswami came back, and he said to his wife, where's prasad? And she said, you already ate. What are you talking about, he said. I didn't already eat. I just went to the to take a bath, and I just came back. And she said, you're becoming very forgetful. And she said, you also wrote something in your book. And so then he went to his book, and he saw the writing where it describes that Krishna bows down at Radharani's feet. And then he offered his respects to his wife. And he said to his wife, you are most fortunate. Krishna has personally taken food from your hands. So this is Radha Madhava Jayadeva Goswami's deities. And Shyamakund, we also have Lord Chaitanya's sitting place. And of course, this was when Shyamakund and Radhakund were just like little ponds in the paddy field. They had not yet been excavated. But Lord Chaitanya would sit at this place and chant the holy names of the Lord. And there's some interesting panels on the top of this place that depict Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sadbhuj form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nimai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being non-different from Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathing in the paddy fields that were Radhakund and Shyamakund. And when Radha and Krishna would sit by the banks of Shyamakund, they would play many games. And one game they played was the game of dice. And of course they wouldn't wager money, they would wager embraces and kisses like this. A very interesting wager. And so this is
the place where one of their dice boards was.
Where exactly is it? I was in attendance. Where is this, please?
This, right by the banks of Shamakund, after, so you really have to know how to get in there.
Balabhacharya's place, most probably.
Yes, close to Balabhacharya's. Yeah, Balabhacharya's place, and there's an ancient tree as the entrance there.
Yeah.
That's, some people say, is thousands of years old. So they would play dice on this spot. I don't know if that's the original dice board. I doubt it, but right on that spot. Okay, here's Radha and Krishna playing dice and wagering. There's a small Lakshmi Narayan temple across the street. We're almost finished with the parikrama. We come to the Radha Madan Mohan Temple, the replica of the Vrindavan Temple where Sanatan Goswami established. And there's a Bhajan Kutir for Sanatan Goswami as well as the deities of Radha Madan Mohan. And these deities are taken care of quite well. And they have regular Bhagavatam classes at this particular temple. And Lalita Sakhi is on the left. Have a picture of Radha Madan. And then we go to the Sangha. And the computer is talking. I hear it singing. That's all right. This is the meeting place of Radha Kund and Shyamakund. It's called the Sangam, where the waters sometimes flow together during the rainy season. So this is taken as the meeting of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. And there's a small temple of Bunki Bihari on the Sangam, as well as a Gornataya deity temple that's not on the Sangam, it's on the street. And Raghunath Das Goswami, why don't you turn that down? I don't want that sound. Raghunath Das Goswami actually showed us how to live in Radha Kund. He circumambulated Radha Kund, he fell down making a mark, in other words, Dandabad Parikrama. Prabhupada said, that is Radha Kund Vasi. Not only counting holy names, but offering obeisances so many hundreds of times. And he showed so much vairagya. He showed he can take bath in the Radha Kund. First of all, do this like Raghunath Das Goswami. In other words, Prabhupada is showing that you have to have the right consciousness to bathe in the Radha Kund. Now you want, are you taking this quote down or?
Yeah,
this is a very important quote for Radha. This is what Prabhupada said when the devotees actually didn't have the right consciousness when they bathed in Radha Kund. He said, first of all, do this like Raghunath Das Goswami. And that's going back to the previous sentences. Then you can take bath in the Radha Kund. Madhu Pandit's sitting place in temple, the Radha Gopinath temple. Here we see Radha Gopinath. And then there's two more places. There's the sitting place of Lord Nityananda, where he would sit by the banks of the Radha Kund. And actually, he sat here waiting for Lord Chaitanya to manifest his Sankirtan pastimes before he went to Bengal to join and participate in Sankirtan. Here we're circumambulating the sitting place of Lord Nityananda. This is our group. As I said, we had a real international group. People from Europe, people from India, people from South Pacific, Fiji, and America. So we did this visit by the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who actually excavated and revealed these holy places on Lord Chaitanya's order. Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatan Goswami, when Sanatan Goswami was thinking of ending his life because he had sores all over his body, he said, you should not do this with my property. I'm paraphrasing. He said, what do you think of someone who takes another's property and misuses it or destroys it? So he said, your body, Sanatana Goswami, belongs to me. And I have many things that I want to accomplish that I couldn't personally do, utilizing your good self. So that's the end of the tour. Okay. So Radhakun ki jai, Shamagun ki jai, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shilabhaupad ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Vaishnava ki jai, Gaur Premananda, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we'll start with the tour of the rest of Braj.
We have the whole Braj Mandal Parikrama. Yeah, I wanted to start here to finish this part before we did Braj Mandal, the rest of Braj Mandal. Okay, we're ending on time. A book.
Another book.
From all angles of vision. Thank you very much.
Very interesting. Very thought stimulating.
Okay. Can I also get an e-copy of this book? I mean, if you send me even a doc file or anything.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get it from the publisher.
It can be in any sort. It can be any sort of format. Doesn't matter. Because usually I just read books on, you know, Kindles and iPads and everything like that. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes.
So if we can be a